pick a window.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I'm your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends. In the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
Stepping out of the shadows, our gamer goth, Ms. Patricia Heltman.
I made it.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman, Laird Jeff Bell.
Would anyone like a dog? He's a good boy.
I already got two.
He's a sweet dummy.
Then why are you getting rid of him?
He needs a yard, and this apartment is just fucking killing him.
Fair. Mm-hmm. I can understand that.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make that all personal. Hi, everybody. How you doing? What's up?
I got nothing for you. So.
What's new this week, guys? Anything new?
I don't know about new. It feels like the same old shite every week. How about you? You've been having an adventure.
I've had an adventure. Okay, so when we get into the segments where we talk about what we read and what we watched, I've got nothing to add to that because our main water supply line in my upstairs bathroom to the toilet decided that it did not want to fulfill that destiny, and it really wanted to be a soaker hose. And it did that really well because we've got walls in the basement that need drywall to come off. I've got blower fans all through the house. I've got dehumidifiers. It's kind of a mess in my house right now, you guys. And I'm real mad because I just, in the last few years, we've remodeled this house and made it all nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah. So I'm kind of over it. But speaking of, there is still one dehumidifier running down here in the basement. Can you guys hear it?
No, you're good.
Mm, no.
Okay,
no.
Cool. I tried to make sure it wasn't quite so loud down here.
Hey, much like young gentlemen and ladies wearing fancy dress-up clothes and coming to your door unprovoked, this might be a good time to consider a bidet.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Hey, if I'm going to proselytize, I'm going to proselytize. And I am all about the bidet.
Hey, they're commonly used all through Europe, man.
Yeah.
And if you're putting in a new water line, you might as well split it off and make a bidet.
Yeah. I have one, but I didn't get one of the heated ones.
No, but you can run warm water to it if you're having to pull off.
Yeah.
A drywall.
But see, here's the thing is that it's the supply line is the one that runs from the wall to the toilet.
Yeah.
So none of the plumbing in the walls has to. The walls that have to be torn out are down here in the basement
because
the water came through the floor and soaked them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, the flip side, the good news, because we got to try to find the bright side and everything or else I'll just be a ball of sadness, is that it was a simple fix. It was a cheap fix relatively when it comes to plumbing. And we didn't have to vacate the house. So, you know.
Bright sides. All right.
Bright side.
Bright
accepted.
Side. Yeah.
Go on. How about the rest of you? I hope you had a better week than I did, you guys.
I don't know. There's been a lot of water. I don't get it. So I've had a drippy sink that was turning into almost a running sink.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I'm going to have to call my plumber in and I need to be able to afford him because this is going to be expensive. I could not find shutoff valves underneath the sink. This is the kitchen sink, the main kitchen sink. Couldn't find shutoff valves. We finally, we've been doing a lot of house cleaning and trying to get shit out of the house. Not that somebody wants to throw anything away, we're trying to get stuff out of the house, and because we got some newish furniture from my mom's, and we want to get it in and everything. So one of the things that we did was we finally cleared enough space to yoink out the dishwasher that had stopped working a while ago, and we'd switched to a draining rack in the sink. Because I'm like, if I cover, and it's one of those draining racks that covers the sink. And I'm like, if I cover this big sink, you can't put shit down in here, you know, and fill it. And then that just, nobody washes it. So we're gonna do this. We'll have a dish drainer on top. And it's worked really well for us. But we were like, we need to get rid of this dishwasher. We finally get it pulled out. Angus had a friend who was a apprentice plumber who came and helped us yoink it out because he'd done it before. And he found the tap for that, got that shut off, and got it disconnected. And as soon as that dishwasher came out, what do we see? Shut-off valves for the main sink.
Yay!
Hidden behind the dishwasher, because, you know, that's where you put them. So I tap down the taps, and they don't shut the water all the way off, but they do shut it off enough that I can change out the cartridges. But now it was a matter of finding new cartridges. This is an old sink tap. I finally wind up at this place up in North Salt Lake that the plumbing supply place sent me to. And they're like, yeah, we got the hot water. We don't have the cold water. I'm like, well, the hot water seems to be the one we need right now. So give me the hot water one. I brought the hot water one home, put back in the cold water cartridge that I took to show them. This is the one I need. Hot water cartridge works great, but the slow water, the cold water has a drip. And if I have the water on for the cold water, it runs, you know, that nice, slow little tiny stream. And meanwhile, I'm waiting for them to get the fucking part back in because I said, reorder one for me. And they said, yeah, we've ordered them and nothing came in this week. So I still don't have cold water. And the thing is that those valves don't shut the water all the way off. So I've still got a drip. And I'm just like, motherfucker. And I get I come upstairs one evening. And I swear I'm the only one who fucking notices this. I come upstairs and it's hot. And I'm like, uh-oh. I said, I know the AC's on. Are the vents blowing cold air? My wife's like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm the only one who fucking checks these things. So I go over and put my foot over a vent. Nope, no cold, no air blowing at all. So I go downstairs, yoink out the filter, which was just black, and turn it on vent so that it thaws out the coils. Because if you don't do that, it's not going to work anyway. And shut off the outside condenser and waited until it came back on. And meanwhile, I'm like, oh, shit, I got to get my office ready because anytime I have to dry those coils out, I get water in my office. It doesn't run the right way and it comes down the wrong side and comes into my office. Well, I didn't get any water in my office. I was very happy.
Well, that's good.
Woo-hoo! But you've noticed we've had rainstorms the last few days. And I come into my office one morning and the carpet's soaking wet. And I'm like, motherfucker. And it wasn't getting any better. So I go and I check the drain hose and the rig that lets me hook a hose up to it was faulty. And I could pop the connector right off for the hose. So I sent me to Home Depot to find a thing that lets you connect a hose. It's basically the same the same thing you use to connect a hose so you can run sprinklers off of your hose instead of underground sprinklers off your hose. And so I went and got one of those, hooked it in, did all the work. And now I'm just waiting for my carpet to finish drying out. But yeah, I know all about the water problems.
Yeah.
I know all about them.
How about you guys, Pat, Jeff, any leaks, any water damage in your houses? Because this is apparently his home talk now.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have any damage in my house, but I'm pretty sure my neighbor's water heater is leaking.
Oh, no.
We have closets.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's not the water heater. It's the furnace.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So it's got to be her AC, I guess.
It'd be her AC, yeah.
We have closets outside of our doors. And
right.
I can just hear something dripping in there, and so I tried to check, but her closet's locked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I can just hear it dripping all the time. It's weird. And I don't know. I would say something to her, but I know she's a broke single mom.
Well,
so I'm like, I don't want to open that can of worms yet.
Well, she's renting, so it's not up to her to fix it, is it?
So she owns her condo. Yeah. So she.
Oh, she owns her condo. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it would be up to her to fix it. The fixes aren't that expensive or complicated unless they've really fucked you on how they built your AC. If they build it to where you can repair it, it's very nice. But a lot of times they don't build it to where you can repair it.
Right.
They build it where you have to call in a service guy. In that case, have her call I know a guy. They're local AC experts here in Salt Lake.
Okay.
And their prices are really fair.
Okay.
I won't say
they're cheap, but they're very fair and they will go anywhere. I paid for a part and a very low cost on labor, but the part must have been made out of solid gold because of how much the part was.
Oh, wow.
But I asked him if the part would come and cuddle with me at night after it was done working because of how expensive the fucking thing was. But yeah, the AC wasn't going to run without it. It was a capacitor that the AC wouldn't run without it. So I was like, well, that one's got me over a barrel. But he's like, I'm serious. It's the price of the part. And I looked it up on Amazon. I'm like, okay. Capacitor, blah, blah. He's actually giving me a deal. This is his is cheaper than the one on Amazon. So yeah. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I called the furnace guys to fix my furnace, and yeah, we had that talk a couple of years ago, and that was like, well, where's the other $200 you owe me? You know, you need to refund me for overcharging me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause all she did was come and replace two pieces. The parts themselves, I looked up on Amazon, were like $10 a piece. And all she did was come and do that and then leave. And I'm like, yeah, I got overcharged. And it was because I called this, you know, 24-hour whatever repair place and that have commercials and big marketing campaigns. And, of course, you pay for the marketing campaigns out of your bill, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
And then as a marketer, you do.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah. I'm a little okay with that.
But aside from that, the only other thing, yesterday we went down to my mom's house. I had the door latch for the doorknob on the front door. My cousin had just puttied it up because I guess it had just come apart. So he'd puttied it up, but then he never came back to finish it before she died. And so you couldn't really latch the door. You could deadbolt it, but you couldn't latch it. And, I was told we need to get that fixed. So I went down and did it, and it was surprisingly easy.
I was
shocked how easy it was. Yeah. I was shocked how easy it was to do. I just re-drilled a hole. I bought a really nice, awesome little chisel and chiseled out the putty that he'd put into the recess spot, which I don't know why he did that. And put in the new striker plate, and it was done. And I was like, okay, I'm good. And then I spent the rest of the morning pulling weeds because nobody had weeded the yard. Nobody had been taking care of the yard. And I was like, this is a pain in the ass. My wife was down there helping me, but even the two of us doing it, we just wore ourselves out because there was just so many. Yeah. And those weeds love to get down in that clay.
Yep.
And lock themselves in. So yeah, that was... So my hands are still arthritic this morning from yanking weeds out of the ground.
Yeah.
So I'm still sitting here pulling my fingers, cracking my knuckles, that kind of thing. Because I'm like, yeah, they hurt today. But hey, we've got a couple of big things happening in our local comic book community. The Nerd Store is moving across the hall.
Yeah.
And finally, the new Nerd Store is opening. I don't know when the Nerd Cafe will be ready, but the new Nerd Store is opening.
It's coming along behind.
Yep.
But they got all their final inspections and everything done and started moving product across the hall a few days ago. A little bit of a process, but the new store is open at the Valley Fair Mall in West Valley, Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Just off I-215 on the 3500 South exit. Haven't said that
and
in a while.
It is a vault. It is a vault.
It's
that
big.
Thing is, that's a big store
yeah.
that they're taking over. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The
I
kind
know.
Of store that one of those Halloween stores would normally jump into, you know, for a season. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nuts how much shit the old soccer store used to have in there. You could not move without touching product. There was
right.
nowhere to walk. It was so fucking full.
It was so packed, and now to see it emptied, because you could walk by and the cage was down, but you could look in and see it emptied and see where the new store was going to be. And I'm like, this place is vast. Vast, I tell you.
Yeah, everybody's pretty excited.
For shoplifters. I mean, for shoppers. So, yeah. Yeah, should be fun.
Harder to shoplift in a bigger store.
That's true.
There's more space.
Mm-hmm. And then we do have Wasatch Comic Con coming up in November.
Yep.
And more guests have been announced. Yeah, looking forward to that one.
Yeah, more and more of those coming. What do we got? And then over there at the Dr. Volts on Saturday, the 26th of August, we're going to have Mike Lovins, Travis Romney, and badass Doug Wagner.
Nice.
In for a locals only talent show, basically.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. So that's August 26th.
One of these days I'll get invited to these things. I got just a little more shit to get done. And some artists to crack the whip on.
Yeah, yeah. We got to print you sellable product, too.
Yeah.
I've got the PDFs ready to go. I've just got to get the money to get them all printed so I have sellable product. That's
yep.
all.
Yep. It's all financial. And
we're starting with an issue one that will have that's all ages. I've Grawlixed out all the swears in issue one.
Oh, okay. Or
I should say Andy has Grawlixed out all the swears in issue one because I didn't actually do any of it. Just I asked Andy to do it and he did it. So we've got him Grawlixed out so I won't feel bad when a little girl wants to read the Shaolin Nun and I'm like, there's swears in this book. I don't know if I want you to take it. Now I don't feel bad. And we're also going to do blank covers so that my artist friends can draw on them for me.
Nice.
Cool.
And Greg has already agreed to do like 5 or 6 covers for me. So he'll do 5 or 6 and send them back to me. So I'm going to get, I'll have some Greg Maldonado original covers. I'll get some other ones done. But that is all geared up to be ready for November for Wasatch Comic Con. So that's what I'm gearing up for. Cause I have a table there. And so I'll be selling that stuff there. But yeah, apart from that, I've got to get the last 2 issues done so I can have a trade that I can sell, which always makes more money.
Yeah.
Because it's hard when you're selling a book for $5. You know, like if I were to go to the local MegaCon here, I'm dropping $150, $200 for a table. And I'm selling them for $5. I'm selling my books for $5. I got to move a lot of books at a con that nobody gives a shit about comic books, even though it's called a comic con or a comic book convention. Nobody gives a shit about comic books. And so they're all there to just try to fuck a star, basically a movie star. And I'm like, yeah, it's just not worth it if I had a trade, it might be worth it. If I had several trades, it'd be worth it. Like Doug, if I had several trades like Doug, it'd be worth it. But otherwise, it's not worth it to me. Any other news from the Dr. Volts or the new nerd store we need to think about?
Probably, but we're 20 minutes in. We probably ought to.
Yeah, we should dive into some news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Ron Cephas Jones, Emmy Award-winning actor, dead at 66, died due to a long-standing pulmonary issue. Played William Hill on This Is Us, but was also in Luke Cage.
Yep.
Yeah, which is why we got him. His daughter Jasmine also got an Emmy in 2020. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's sweet. That is. Law and Order, Organized Crime. He was everywhere.
Yeah.
Tony nominated.
Oh.
But yeah, so he was in Mr. Robot, The Get Down, Luke Cage, Looking for Alaska. That was good. Truth Be Told. Film credits include He Got Game, Sweet and Lowdown, Half Nelson, Across the Universe, Glass Chin, Holiday Calendar, Dog Days, and Dolomite Is My Name. That one was also a lot of fun. But yeah, he has passed away. Let's see. Oh, Jeff Smith, the creator of Bone.
Yep.
You may not think you know it, but you do.
You do.
Had to cancel his fall tour due to a massive heart attack. Yeah, Bones.
I'm glad he survived the heart attack to cancel his tour.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. He's 63 years old. The message from his representation says Jeff Smith is recuperating from a cardiac arrest, which he suffered on Sunday. There will be a long road to recovery, so regrettably, we must cancel the remainder of his book tour this year. But yeah. Says that they hope it's just a bump in the road and that Jeff will see you all later next year. Thank you for your support and understanding at this time. Bone's good. Very popular. So's, you know, Boneville. Very popular.
Yeah. No, it's a great series.
Citizen and Marvel release a limited edition 60th anniversary watch that is just awful looking. That's just the ugliest fucking watch. Look at it. Just look at it. Look at it. It's like being poked in the eyes.
Ugh, gross.
What I liked about this watch was that's John Byrne artwork.
Sure.
I liked that part. Yeah. I was like, ooh, John Byrne. And I'm like, you just sort of shove everybody together. What I don't like about this watch is that it's, let's see.
A watch?
A watch. But no, I saw the price and I'm trying to find the price again. It was
it's around $400.
$450.
Yeah.
That's what I don't like about this watch. It's a $450 watch, and it's not that pretty for being a really... I mean, to see the John Byrne art, it's awesome, but yeah, he put too many figures... You know, they put too many characters in there and then did that weird stripey thing. So,
yep.
Yeah.
More Thor, less, what, Black Panther? I don't know. I can't see who that is there right next to Black Widow. That is Black Panther. It's got to be.
That is Black Panther. So it's from the left, you got Captain Marvel. Well, Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
You got the Hulk. You got Iron Man. You got Captain America, Thor, Black Panther, and Black Widow. And I'm like,
on the other hand, it's got two women on it, which seems a big step forward for Marvel.
I do like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So sorry about your ugly watch, Marvel, but way to go being more representative.
Yeah. Sorry about your ugly, overpriced watch, Citizen. Yeah.
DC has made Blue Beetle comics free to read on their Fancy Pants Universe Infinite app. You still have to register. But the highlighted comics include Blue Beetle, New 52 Blue Beetle, Rebirth Blue Beetle, Blue Beetle Graduation Day, and Blue Beetle, number 15. But it's pretty cool.
Get caught up on the Jaime Reyes so that you can enjoy the movie even more so.
I only say it's cool because I checked all those titles and didn't have any of them. So I'm like, go read them for free.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yep.
They're all available for free. Go check them out.
Yep.
We don't have any in trade. Yeah.
All right. That is it for the news.
All right. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're talking moving pictures.
Came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job,
not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IAmHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are now controlling the transmission. We control the horizontal and the vertical. We can deluge you with a thousand channels or expand one single image to crystal clarity and beyond. Please stand by.
What you guys been watching on the TVs this week? We'll start with Joss.
As previously mentioned, not a damned thing, because the sound of the fans is too loud, so my noise-canceling headphones have been on, and I've been scrolling through social media.
Boom.
Boom. How about you guys, though?
How about you, Pat?
I was trying to find stuff to watch that would help my mood. So I started True Blood again.
There you go.
And that first fucking episode, oh my God, I forgot how porny it was.
It's very porny.
It's so porny.
It's so porny.
Honey, have you ever watched True Blood? No?
Okay. Oh no.
We should put that on the rotation.
Yes.
You should.
It is a very good show. But it's one of those ones that you can kind of feel it's a little dated, despite it not being that old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little dated.
Yeah.
So.
Try watching Buffy again.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's, I did, last year, I think I started it and I was going through it. So that one is, but that one I expected to be dated. I did not expect True Blood to be dated.
To feel that, it's amazing how much has changed in just that short amount of time.
Yeah. It's like, what, 10 years maybe? I think it's 2010.
Maybe from the final episode of True Blood, yeah.
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 So, that's kind of the only thing that, well, no, that's a lie. I started watching the Harley Quinn cartoon.
Oh, it's
very good. Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
That's
it's kind of my like
fun.
You're eating. You shouldn't go lay down in bed yet because you know it's still like only 5 o'clock. And so I watch one episode and I'm like, okay, I'm going to bed. So.
How about you, Jeff?
So obviously the World Cup. We are mere moments. So nobody tell me.
No, I was going to say, I know the outcome, but yeah.
Yeah, almost timed it perfectly. We've just got stoppage time left. So we're almost done. And I have a feeling how this is going to go. But okay. I still want to watch it. Mm-hmm. Last week, I watched The Pacific on Max, which was the brother show to Band of Brothers, but with the Marine Corps walking the islands all the way up into Japan. Mm-hmm. And so this week, just kind of off to the side, a little Band of Brothers has been on the TV, usually when Tiffany falls asleep, which is whenever I put anything on. So I've been watching whatever the hell I want. Threw on the new Justified City Primeval, got caught up on that. Still, I am still enjoying the show quite a bit. I don't think Tiffany is joining me in that enjoyment. She likes the old Justified better, you know? But it is. Mm-hmm. It's hard to watch Timothy Oliphant, you know, look sexier than I am at his age. As he has done with every age.
With every age, yes.
How old is he?
He's about my age.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, fair.
And then started rewatch on season one of Good Omens so that I can watch season two because it's been so long since I've watched season one. And fuck, these guys are brilliant. They're just fucking brilliant. Like, they're so good. Jon Hamm, who I love, annoys me every time he shows up. Because it's like, you're not as good, Jon Hamm, as these classically trained British actors.
He's amazing, too, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I need that. I need my source to source that for me because I canceled my Prime subscription again. So nobody was using it. And it was like, well, fuck it. We're just going to let it go.
No, I totally get it.
Yep.
Until you get it, that's all I've managed to watch this week. What about you?
Mm-hmm. Not much this week. Did catch the latest episode of Reservation Dogs. A little bit quieter episode, which was nice. But the band is back together. The gang is back together at the reservation. The dogs are back in the reservation. And you just get those fun moments, you know, of their interaction with the other tribal members. And they're all in trouble for taking off and going to L.A., And it's just fun to. The fact is there's like two of them could just say, fuck you. I'm 18. I can do whatever I want. But they're there supporting their younger friends who got in big trouble, you know, for the whole thing. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to watch. And a good in-betweener, even though they feel like they're setting things up for future seasons and they didn't get they're not going past season three. So I'm like, ah, man, because I really love this show. And then I came up, my wife was watching one afternoon. My wife was watching a John Wayne movie, and that got me thinking about John Wayne movies. So we threw on The Sons of Katie Elder that evening, and then we followed that up another day with McClintock. We watched another one. I can't remember what it was. It was a darker one.
You want to talk about things that age poorly?
Oh,
John Wayne McClintock ages poorly, man.
That's a very poorly age. That does not age well. You have to sit back and you have to let it be in its place. You have to say, this is a window to another time. Not necessarily the Old West, the 1960s. This is a window to that sort of attitude about women in the 1960s. And it's very much, it's almost a, I think it came out after The Quiet Man, or I can't remember if it came out before or after The Quiet Man, but they feel like sequels to each other because it's Maureen O'Hara and both of them, John Wayne. There's a spanking involved.
Right.
Yeah. It's a weird one. And then, you know, the rest of it, you know, we watched a darker one. I can't remember what it was. Much darker one with him in it. And that I really enjoyed it. It was a cowboy movie as well. So Paramount Plus has quite a few John Wayne movies on it. If you've got the Paramount Plus. So fun to watch. And aside from that, just random shit and Star Trek. Because, you know, I like watching Star Trek.
Yeah, I think I watched the final episode again.
Yeah.
Yeah, just I watched Ready Room, and I got to admit, man, Will Wheaton's crawling on my nerves. He needs a better script writer.
A little bit better?
He's personable, but oh my God, it's like cheese weenie right now, and it needs to just dial it back a little bit. But yeah, so I watched that, and
the
was like...
The funny thing is it's gotten a modicum better from the previous season or the previous one he did.
Yeah.
Like how they do Red Alert is so much less geeky and everything else, but yeah, it's still pretty geeky. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I watched that again cause it was so fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't decide on anything else to watch.
But everybody who goes on it, you know, who sits in interviews with him, they're like, it's so nice. He puts us so at ease. And then he gets us to actually, you know, some of them aren't prepared for, he asks like inside the actor's studio level questions.
Questions like, are good. Answers are good. There's just,
yeah.
It's his scripted performance that just drives me up a tree.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. And he just needs better scripts. That's all.
Just better writers, just a better writer to kind of edge him up a little bit, make him a little edgier. That'd be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I realized what I like about the Star Trek channel on Pluto compared to the other Star Trek channel on Pluto. I don't know what it's called, but so the one air runs original series and Next Gen over and over again. And then the number two channel runs DS9 and Voyager over and over again. Which of those four have we had remasters of? The original series and Next Gen.
Yeah.
It's so much more enjoyable to watch in a streaming environment with those than it is the DS9 and the Voyager that have not gotten their digital remaster. And, okay, I get why you haven't done DS9 yet because, you know, it's the ugly stepchild, but it's still one of the best goddamn series they've ever done. But the Voyager, it's like, why hasn't that been remastered? There are so many fans who would just buy it immediately if you remastered it, put it out on Blu-ray. Why the fuck haven't you remastered it, Paramount?
I probably would.
Yep. Yeah, I know you would.
I need to get on that.
So many fans of Voyager.
I'm so mad about that now.
And I have no idea why they haven't done it. I mean, it was such a big deal when they did original series, and then an even bigger deal when they did Next Gen. And I know it took a long time to do Next Gen because of just the sheer number of episodes. And it'll be that way with DS9 and Voyager, but they haven't even announced that they've even had an inkling of doing it for those two series.
I remember there was a lot of noise about the Next Gen redo because everything had been filmed on video instead of film. And right. So I remember the upgrade was more difficult.
And maybe that was it.
It probably just cost enough that they are wary to start again. Mm-hmm. And they should. I'd watch Voyager again. I liked it. You know, I have not jumped on with the deep and abiding love you guys have for DS9. I liked it. You know, too many Ferengi episodes. Every time the Ferengi pop up as the main focus, I'm like, nah, fuck this. I'm so sick of fucking Ferengi. They're the dumbest invention in this goddamn universe.
I love them so much. I love all of them.
I know you do. I know you do. I can't. I just can't do it.
On my last rewatch of DS9, I was doing a... I'd pull up Memory Alpha, which is the fan encyclopedia, basically, for Star Trek.
Yeah.
And they had written everything that came out in different... They put in all the information from the companions, you know, the episode companions and series companions that the Paramount writers and stuff had put out. And it was really interesting to read that as I'm watching the episode, just kind of going through and looking at the behind the scenes stuff after I watched the episode. Cause one of the things that was a big deal for, Shimmerman was he was so upset with the way when he first appeared in Star Trek as a Ferengi way back in that first appearance of the Ferengi in Next Gen, that was so terrible. And he was like, I want to improve the Ferengi. And most of the work they did, if he didn't like it, he wouldn't perform it. Basically, if the writers wrote something he didn't like, he wouldn't perform it. So, the Ferengi episodes were really, I mean, he did have things he had exception to. Like if it was one of those Quark versus Odo kind of episodes, if Quark won, he didn't like it. He's like, that little troll should not win. He should never get to win. That was a big deal for him. So it was really interesting to read along, or not read along, but just kind of read after I watched the episode and go, yeah, okay, I get where you're going with that. I get why you did it that way. And it made it so much better. And even ones that were terrible, they're like, yeah, we knew this was terrible and we were well aware it was terrible. And we did it because it was going to be funny and fun. And we needed a little bit of a kind of a release, like the one where the runabout gets shrunk down and winds up having to save the day in a tiny little runabout, you know, after the Dominion take over the Defiant.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's like, what the hell was that? And the writers are like, yeah, we knew it was a really weird flex, but we just wanted to do it, and we felt like we needed something to kind of break up the heavy tension that was coming from the war. So, yeah, I really liked that part. But so, yeah, it was fun to read along. That's all I'm saying. If you read along, it might be a little, I don't know if it'd make it better or not for you. I don't know. It did for me.
Well, nothing I like better with my television than homework. I'll just stick that advice over there with the here's how you watch Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I can't just push play and lay down.
Here's your Clone Wars spreadsheet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
No. If you read the companion literature and at least some slash fic, it all becomes better.
It all gets better. No, the thing is I love DS9 right out of the first, you know, watching it the very first time all the way through. I loved it. I didn't care for it for the first four seasons or first three seasons. And then when they got to the fourth season and it became this kind of, we're going to do an overarching story arc that goes throughout the whole season and not just the whole season, the rest of the series. I was like, I'm on board. It didn't hurt that Michael Dorn showed up, but it's still, I'm like, I'm on board after that. Yeah.
I did like it when Sisko punched Q.
I liked that.
Yeah, that was a very good moment. Mm-hmm. Picard never did that. I'm not Picard. Okay,
I'm
not Hawk. Picard,
I'm Hawk.
Yeah. Sweet.
All right, let's do some news.
Netflix's Warrior Nun got 2 seasons and then got canceled.
Lame.
Aww. Now it's being brought back as 3 movies.
Awesome.
It's going to be a trilogy of feature films.
I am going to just say, because I don't know that this is true, but I just assume it is. Well done, fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done coming out, going back and getting that remade getting the movies done because, yeah, that's the only thing that could have saved it at that point.
So late last month, series creator Simon Barry credited an intense fan campaign to revive the show after its cancellation, quoting, "Today I am happy to officially report that because of your combined voices, passion, and amazing efforts, Warrior Nun will return and is going to be more epic than you can imagine. More details to come soon. Thank you." And then we find out that it's going to be 3 movies. I love this fucking show.
Yeah, it's so
good. And it is based on a really good comic book.
Yep.
You know? Yeah, I dig this fucking show.
I still have a whole thing with it because when I announced I was doing the Shaolin Nun, everybody's like, "Do you know there's a series on Netflix called The Warrior Nun?" I'm like, "Yeah, not the same kind of nun, not the same thing. Don't worry about it. I'm not infringing on anyone's copyright here." Oh, I did forget one I watched this week. Because I watched it, I think on Sunday after we talked, we watched Heart of Stone.
Oh, that was fun.
The Gal Gadot movie. That was a fun movie. I want to see more. And I've heard it's not as popular as Netflix anticipated it would be or something. I don't fucking know how Netflix does anything. They're as bad as Fox was back in the day. Yeah.
True.
Yep. Barbie got a digital release date.
Yes.
And it's early. It's like September 5th.
Oh, damn.
It'll make its way to digital September 5th.
Yes, you do.
Pre-order on Amazon for $20.
Mm-hmm. And it will then pop up on, it looks like HBO will get it for streaming.
Yep, Warner Brothers Discovery.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big deal. It's Warner Brothers Discovery's first $1 billion movie.
Wow. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't realize that.
Surpassed Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm. So, which was their last mega hit. When you think about how many movies they've made, how many of these terrible DC movies we've suffered through, and Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight was their last mega, mega hit until Barbie.
Yep.
The rest of them seem to have made their money back,
mm-hmm.
which is saying something because they spent a lot of money on these goddamn things. But, yep. No, I'm going to see it. And now it looks like I'll see it on the 5th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, you know, and we'll talk about this on things we haven't seen, but Blue Beetle released this weekend, and I have not had time to go see it.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to see it yet either.
Yep.
I don't care to go see it. I haven't seen the last several DC movies.
This one is certified fresh. The rest of them haven't been.
I did see that, so.
This one was high on my list. As soon as they announced it was coming out, I said, well, that's going to be the one that makes... That's going to be the strong one. That's going to be another Suicide Squad Part 2, you know, that James Gunn did. It's going to be more of that than what we had with everything else they've done up until this point. But I will still say that Fury of the Gods and Black Adam were decent films. But, yeah, still not on par with what I'm used to.
So after 4 weekends of Pink... The box office is going blue. Despite a muted opening, DC Studios' Blue Beetle looks to dethrone fellow Warner Brothers release Barbie after Barbie has been the top of the pops for the last month. But debuting on 3,871 screens, the Blue Beetle movie has earned $10 million on its opening day, a figure that includes $3.3 million from previews. So we're not sure how it's going to fare through the weekend. They were looking for between 25 and 33 million, and it looks like it might fall short. Shazam Fury of the Gods debuted to 30 million, before collapsing for a $57.6 million finish.
Ooh.
Yep.
It wasn't that bad a movie.
But it just, it collapsed. That was all there was to it.
Yep.
And the Flash didn't do any better.
Yep.
despite having Michael Keaton.
Yep.
And a weird cameo from Nick Cage.
So I got a rumor that I adore. I love this rumor, even though it is not true. Taylor Swift to become Marvel's Dazzler.
To which that'd be awesome.
Kevin Feige's like, wait, what? That would be awesome. Can we do that? Let's do that.
Swift for Dazzler.
I would watch that. And yeah. I would watch a solo movie of that.
Yeah.
I would. You know, there was in the Dazzler comic book series back in the 80s, Allison got approached by this weird movie producer who was a creep, you know, a movie producer, in other words.
Right,
and they were making Dazzler the movie, and it was they released it. Marvel released it as a graphic novel, and it was basically it outed Allison as a mutant, which at the time, well, even now, is not that good of an idea in the Marvel universe.
Yeah,
and it was such a good book in and of itself. That, you know, I'm like, that could be fun. You know, if you introduce Dazzler in Deadpool 3, let us know that she exists, and then you do Dazzler the movie. And if Swifty's on board to do the whole movie, then you could, that would be a lot of fun. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it for the news.
Oh, well then.
Done. Another break, and when we come back, we're talking comics.
My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
All right, let's get some comic book news.
Ahead of its second season, Disney Channel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur gets an all-ages graphic novel. It's been announced for a second season, and folks are waiting impatiently for Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, based on the Marvel comic of the same name. So Scholastic has something to make waiting a little easier, and that's a new graphic novel set in the show's continuity to be released next spring.
So you're only going to be able to get it through Book Fair, is what I'm hearing.
I can get Scholastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was funny to read it as gets an all-ages graphic novel. Like, it's like that's a whole new thing for them.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'd be really disturbed if Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur got an adults-only graphic novel.
Yeah, get Miller or, you know, Mark Millar what's his name? The Scottish guy. You know?
Gillian.
Grant Morrison.
Get one of those fuckers on this. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see a Warren Ellis Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
I was thinking of a Garth Ennis Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Yep.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that's a little scary.
Yeah.
That'd be fucked up, and I love it. Wonder Woman Historia has rocketed back to number one after James Gunn endorsed it. Hey, James, how about a heads up for your local comic book shop before you do cool shit like this? Because I've got some on order. They're on their way in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know that I have enough to put up with your saying nice things.
Yep.
Right.
I'm going to be sending you some books here.
Yep. He says, Historia is a breathtaking work of sequential art and one of the best things to come out of DC official and comics in the past few years. Thank you to Kelly Sue, Phil Jimenez, and some other folks, because it's Twitter handles, so I don't know who they are. Nicholas Scott.
It's Nicholas Scott and Gene Ha.
Oh, Gene Ha.
Yep.
Yep, I got it. For this incredible experience. And it is. It is a glorious book. It is a beauty to behold. It is the culmination of the failure of Batwoman from the New 52. It is, it is beautiful and readable, unlike Batwoman, which was beautiful and unreadable.
The only exception I took to it was the printing process, because they didn't set the gutters correctly.
Yep.
on these perfect bound books. So you wind up getting, this 2-page spread with a deep seam down the middle that's literally cutting the art into pieces. And it just doesn't look as good. But otherwise, oh my God. Absolutely gorgeous book. Great story.
Yep.
Just loved it.
Made me want more Bitch Planet.
Oh, I love that story.
Mm-hmm. That's the rumor right now from Kelly Sue, is that there's more Bitch Planet coming.
I know.
So, as reported a few days ago, online hints have begun to emerge last week that projects that were in progress as part of the IDW Originals line were being canceled mm-hmm. before they ever came out.
Yep.
Since then, more information has emerged, both publicly and privately, and from what we're hearing about it, it sounds like the Originals line is being phased out. We're told the move is part of a shift back to concentrating on licensed materials at the publisher. However, the acclaimed Top Shelf imprint is unchanged and will continue to put out creator-owned material. So basically, what we're told is that a letter went out to all Originals creators early in the week,
mm-hmm.
Tailored to each creator's situation. Projects by Will Robinson and Regine Sawyer were confirmed on social media to be canceled while in progress. A post on Blue Sky from another creator confirmed that a third project was also canceled. As a note, I'm over there on Blue Sky now, just trying it out. It's a little different. Feels like everything you do that you could have done on Twitter, it takes 2 or 3 more clicks to do on Blue Sky. But then Blue Sky is not Elon Musk, so I'm happy to keep using that. And Threads? Baby steps, folks. Threads, baby
Threads,
steps.
Which is exactly Twitter.
Right.
Exactly, yep. Twitter.
Without all of the
without Musk and all the Muskies
health code violations.
Exactly.
Yep. So anyway, Originals launched back in April of 2022. They had an ambitious slate.
We were excited about it. I remember this was something we're like, hey, this is good, IDW. Let's get some Originals going. Let's get somebody else doing creator owned work.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. But up and coming and already known in creators, Scott Snyder, G. Willow Wilson, Stephen Graham Jones, John Ridley, Leanna Kangas, so many more. All of these have been canceled. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's just April of this year, IDW announced they were reorganizing, delisting mm-hmm. from the stock market and laying off 40% of their staff.
Mm-hmm.
Davidi Jones took over as CEO. New management structure was announced. They continue to have success with hot licensed properties like the Turtles and Star Trek. They're going to give up on this original stuff, which really sucks because
mm-hmm.
I think that that's their next move for evolution and growth is to walk away from expensive properties they pay for and start mm-hmm. building their own universes. That's what Skybound's doing. You know, and they're doing it with IP. You know,
well, the whole thing is you have to, I thought that they could make it work because I'm like, you have established books, you've got books that are established that are, commercial books like Star Trek, like My Little Ponies, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And there's no reason why those can't continue to. You just put them out. Just keep putting those books out, and they will support your putting out indie books, because you're going to take a little bit of a loss right away putting out indie books. But once you get them going, that could then cycle up to where you could get to where Skybound, who is only doing indie books, now is moving into commercial books. I guess the good news about all this is that all of these different creators, Will Robson, Regine Sawyer, Scott Snyder, G. Willow Wilson, all that, John Ridley, they keep their copyright. they still own the IP, so they could take these and put them somewhere else. It wouldn't have to be IDW. So, yeah.
DC has announced a new Speed Force series starring the Flash family. This is all going to be part of the Dawn of DC initiative. Anyway, Speed Force, new miniseries, will center on Wallace, Ace West, Kid Flash, Avery Ho, the Flash of China. Series is written by Jarrett Williams, illustrated by Danielle DiNicuolo. Gangster Paradise. Anyway, it's going to Speed Force 1 will release November 14th. This is different than The Flash. The Flash is being taken over by Simon Spurrier and Mike Diodato. And so this one's new and different. Isn't that fun?
Mm-hmm. Very much.
Yeah. In the biggest fucking news of the week in comic books.
I'm ready.
Jason Aaron will be writing a Batman miniseries. Jason Aaron.
Did you faint when that news dropped?
I swooned.
I bet you did.
I certainly.
Okay, good. I'm glad. I just wanted to check.
Yep. Yep. Batman Offworld, a 6-issue limited series that pairs Jason Aaron with artist Doug Monkey, who's really fucking good.
Yeah.
And
really amazing.
Inker Mendoza. Offworld drags Batman away from Earth on a rare solo mission to an alien world. Jason Aaron is going to fucking slam dunk this. I have no doubt about it. And having Zdarsky and Aaron both writing Bat titles at the same time. Oh, my goodness.
I'm so happy for you.
I'm pretty sure I'm wet.
I'm looking forward to his Chip Zdarsky's newsletter where he makes fun of Jason Aaron as much as he can.
Fuck
so.
Yeah. That's coming. So, yeah, this is going to be good. But, I mean, you've got – he's worked for DC before. He did a lot of work with Vertigo on the other side and Scalped. But this is only the second time Aaron has written a story in the DC universe itself. The first one was 2008's Joker Asylum, Penguin Numero Uno. Commissioned shortly before Aaron began his long exclusivity with Marvel. 15 years later, he's getting the chance to work with Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really cool. I'm very excited about it and cannot wait. But that is it for the news.
Awesome. Well, I know I've read nothing this week. I know Joss has read nothing this week.
Yeah.
How about you, Pat? What have you read this week?
I did not do any reading this week.
Okay. It is all on you, Admiral.
Picked up Batman Volume 2. This is the collected works of Chip Zdarsky's second volume in his Batman run. This is basically following Batman after his battle with Failsafe. The Dark Knight is transported to a darker, more hopeless Gotham City that never had a Batman. And instead, the Red Mask.
And when he becomes the Batman, they hyphenate it, which I thought was the news and everything hyphenates it. I thought that was so fucking funny.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, Red Mask has a bunch of monsters, including Harvey Dent and Killer Croc. Mm-hmm. So Batman's got to clean up a Gotham that's never known a Batman.
Ooh.
It was good.
It sounds good.
Yep. And then one of my very favorite titles over the course of all time, Money Shot, comes in with a number 3 for its newest story arc. Money Shot comes again. The Triple Explorers are trapped on the body of a dead space god with a demented tech billionaire. Can they escape to complete their mission, or will they be forced to accept an indecent proposal? It's good stuff. If you haven't read Money Shot before, get into Dr. Volt's. Pick up the trades for 1 and 2. They're brilliant. It's naughty.
Mm-hmm.
It's risible, and it's fucking hilarious. It's brilliant stuff. So that's what I managed to pick up to this week.
Nice.
Cool. Well, today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week and picks for that you should be ordering right now.
You only say hello so you can say goodbye. These two words must make your life complete. You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your hiccup
and
week.
All right, Pat, what are you picking for this week?
I watched the two movies in theaters of the Addams Families, the cartoon ones. Mm-hmm. And I loved them. And they're doing a book. And I also want to play the video game. So I think I'm going to pick up the book. I think I love that. It makes me happy.
Any recommendations for October?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
October is difficult.
Yep.
Fair enough. This week from Marvel Comics, Daredevil and Echo number 4. I am behind because I've only read number 1 because my week went to crap this week. But I'm going to make sure to get into Dr. Volts on Saturday and pick that one up, and hopefully I'll be able to play catch up. And then my October mainstream pick is also from Marvel. It is a one-shot. It is called Crypt of Shadows. It's a spooky time book, you guys. And really, I picked it because it's a one-shot. It's a spooky time book. It's coming out in October, and on the cover is Daredevil. So, you know me. I'm easy. Mm-hmm. If you put Daredevil on a cover, I will pick it up every single time almost. How about you, Jeff? What's your mainstream picks?
Mainstream going for Immortal Thor number 1. We continue this bizarre handing around of titles from Donny Cates to Al Ewing and back. So Al Ewing's taking over Immortal Thor. Let's hope he doesn't turn into Spaceship Thor, because that'll piss me off. Also looking for Night Terrors number 4 this week. Insomnia, we finally get a little MO here in the fourth book. Mm-hmm. I dig it. I'm really enjoying Night Terrors, everything I've read so far. I don't have the time or the money to read everything, but right. All of the hero side stories that I have picked up so far have just been wonderful. Williamson is knocking it out of the fucking park, much better than he did on his run on Batman, which was actually good. You know, he did a really good job on Batman, and so I have been enjoying Night Terrors quite a bit. I like the way DC rolled it out. I will say that over and over again. Once it was explained to me in a way that my old age could just figure it, I was like, fuck, that's brilliant. They should all do that. 2 months instead of 24? Outstanding.
Yeah.
You know?
Kidding.
So that's that. And then mainstream for October. Get a call into your local comic book shop for this one. Strange Adventures, the deluxe edition. This one's Tom King writing Adam Strange.
This is a fantastic series.
Yeah, it really is. This is collected 448 pages for only $50.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, expensive, but, I mean, it's not like an absolute or something where you're paying $150.
Yeah.
And this is 450 pages for $50. It's not bad. It's quite good.
And it's worth it. It's a good story.
It really is. Tom King, it's some of his best work.
Mm-hmm.
All right, absolutely. So that's mainstream for me. What about you?
Mainstream. So DC Comics this week, we're getting Unstoppable Doom Patrol number 5. There's a special cardstock cover by Michael Janin that I just freaking love. Just more fun with the strangest superheroes of the Doom Patrol. And then for Marvel Comics, I've got the Invincible Iron Man number 9 coming out this week. This will be basically Tony using the stealth armor to take on Fei Long. But he's also basically he's been beaten by Fei Long. He's only got 2 things left. One is his father's membership to the Hellfire Club and his stealth armor. So that should be fun. But his father's membership to the Hellfire Club leads us into my first pick for October for Marvel, which is Invincible Iron Man number 11, where Tony and his new bride, Emma, take over the Hellfire Club.
Nice.
So yeah, he is the new. He will be the new Black King of the Hellfire Club. That should be fun. And then indie picks this week for me from IDW, or sorry, from Image, we get Firepower number 26. Everybody is getting the Firepower now, and he's trying to train everybody on how to use it. And then from IDW, we get a brand new Star Trek Strange New Worlds series mini called the Scorpius Run. Since we didn't get our season with Ortega's, or we didn't get an Ortega's only episode,
right?
In season two, which we'd been teased to get, and we didn't get it. This is our Ortega's only. Well, it won't be Ortega's only, but it'll be Ortega's featured little mini of the Scorpius Run, because it's basically a race in the Scorpius constellation. And they get to, you know, obviously Ortega's will be piloting. And then my indie pick for October, the Star Treks. We've finished the Day of Blood arc, which was the first 12 issues of the new Star Trek series. So Star Trek number 13, you'd think that everybody's going to kind of go back to their own place, but... Sisko gets a request to help stop a familiar foe, the Zenkethi Coalition, from launching the largest fleet in their history. And so, once again, Sisko and the Theseus crew is going to go and stop it. It looks like a lot of fun. And meanwhile, at the Defiant crew in Star Trek Defiant number 9, all these outlaws are now made bounty hunters, and their first mission is to go after Hugh, former Borg Hugh, which we know from Star Trek Picard season 1, winds up in a very important position. So this will be interesting to see if this leads him to that position. So what are your indie picks, Joss? Or sorry, Jeff, going backwards.
Going for the end of the story, Dead Romans number 6 from Image. Marinkovic. Fred Kennedy, look, you're good, man. This is a good story. I enjoy it. I would have read it and enjoyed it, you know. But Marinkovic is just fucking so good at his art. It is insane. How beautiful this fucking book is, you know, as a guy who can't draw and writes from time to time, every once in a while you hand an idea off and it comes back looking 10 times what you could have fucking expected. And this has got to be that. Fred Kennedy's got to be just doing fucking cartwheels every time he looks at his art when he gets it back, you know, cartwheels,
right.
Motherfucking cartwheels. Ordinary Gods Volume 2 from Image as well. Kyle Higgins and Joe Clark. Drawn by Frank William. This is a fun universe building story. This one is the God Machine, which was a very fancy story, which is basically your team is racing to complete the God Machine as their thousands of lifetimes come back to them. And lines are drawn and sides taken. Christopher makes a final choice that will decide the fate of two worlds. And it's good stuff, man. It's cliffhanger shit. That's Ordinary Gods coming out with a volume 2 that you can pick up. And then for my indie, well, it looks like it's Image again. Sorry about that. Moonshine, the complete collection, is coming out in a hardcover. Moonshine, moonshine, moonshine. Gosh. Could that be a double entendre? Why, yes, it is, because it's about both moonshine running in Prohibition and werewolves.
Yay!
Booze and werewolves? Are you shitting me? This is going to be great. It's a true crime horror series. This is the first time collected in one volume. First printing is limited to 5,000 copies. It's going to run $70 for 664 pages. This was a great fucking series.
Nice.
Yep. Collects issues 1 through 28.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yep. Big book.
Big book.
I like it. What about you, buddy?
From this week, dropping from Titan Books, trade paperback for Mother Nature. I missed this in single issues, but it is written by Jamie Lee Curtis. You know that Jamie Lee Curtis, who I adore. And so I just, it's the debut graphic novel. Actually, I didn't miss this in singles. Just kidding. It's a graphic novel across the board. But after witnessing her father die in mysterious circumstances on one of the Cobalt Corporation's experimental oil extraction programs, Nova Terrell has grown up to despise the seemingly benevolent company relied upon by the town of Ketch Creek, New Mexico. So she's going to make a terrifying discovery about the true nature of the Mother Nature product and a project and a threat that could destroy the entire town.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So that looked really good to me. Also dropping this week from American Mythology, a book named Bombshell and Tom Tom, issue number one. And basically, during the war, Bombshell, who's a acrobatic pilot, crashes. She's hit by a meteorite. And when she goes back to inspect what the heck hit her, she finds a robot. Okay, like they call him an automaton, but he's a robot.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of MI agents and a robot and a pilot are going to go punch Nazis. So let's find out what that's going to be all about, you guys.
I dig it.
Right? Sounds so good. And then in October, also, I'm pulling from Image. It is, I'm finding it, what is it called? A Haunted Girl. It's a short, limited one of four. And if I can find the description, I will read it to you, but I can't find it. But it looked really good to me. It was ghosty, haunty-y, and perfect for October.
Fun.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I still can't find it. I give up. All right. That's it for me, guys.
What do we got, Pat?
I had it. I'm so sorry. It's the X-Men. It's the thing. Ultimate. No, this is October. Never mind. I don't have anything.
Sorry. That's okay.
Well, a big reminder for October. The order cutoff date is imminent to be able to get these ordered for your hold. Otherwise, you're going to be taking... You're going to have to be begging for whatever the store orders. So, good time to get them. We'll probably be starting on the November solicits in the next couple of weeks. So be ready for those.
If you want to know where to look these up, by the way, mine is comicreleases.com. It breaks down across the menu. There's solicitations for the upcoming and previous months. So what I'm doing right now is I look at the October 2023 solicitations. I'm not in love with the way they've done the layout, but all the information is there.
Yeah, it's a little hard to navigate, but
yeah, because you got to go by publisher.
You do find it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It is there.
The hard part I'm having is finding them. So thank you for that. I'll try that one.
Comicreleases.com.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go and just go for it, you know, all over the place. So this is really helpful. Comicreleases.com. And like I said, November ones are like DC just dropped their November ones, their November release or November solicits. It means Marvel will be shortly after that, along with Image. And then all the other indies will be trickling in slowly. By, I'd say, not next episode, but the episode after that, we'll probably be moving into the November solicitations. It all depends on when Diamond releases their catalog.
Yep, just waiting for the book.
Yep, when the book comes in, we know that the stores will be able to start taking orders. Even though Image has moved to a different distributor, I think Simon & Schuster,
They went with Lunar.
Several are with Lunar now instead of so Lunar is a completely different animal when it comes to when they can start ordering. So yeah, it's just we wanted to give you guys a chance to order these before you run out. you know, before you go, oh, I really want to get that issue. You go in and they're sold out everywhere. So, yeah. And if you order it and you get it ordered in and then they sell out, well, then you know it's worth something. That's all there is to it. All right. I think that's it for us this week. Anything else, kids?
Nothing.
Nope.
Well, as always, I'll remind you to join us over at on our Patreon squad at patreon.com/defendmedia. This week, we have the Harvey Award nominees. We're going to talk about them. So join us over on Patreon for that. Until then, I will say, as I always do, until Tony Stark becomes the new Black King of the Hellfire Club, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
There's coffee. Stan.
There's coffee in that nebula.
For Asgard.